Well, we come to week number 8 in the power of decision, and there's a want to really talk to you today about just continuing to decide to let our lives be surrendered to Him, trusting the Master. And as we do, we become a people who pray. Tommy, that was such a beautiful song you wrote that you sang at the offering. Just so love that, impressed with that. So follow along. It'll be in your bulletins or on the side screens in both locations. And here's our story today. Jesus returned to Jerusalem from one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city near the Sheep Gate was the Pool of Bethesda. Remember, those of us who've been to Israel, remember we were at that location. And those, we have another 50 who are going to go right after the first of the year. We will be at this very site. It's really something to see. Well, there were these 5 covered porches and crowds of sick people, those who were blind, lame, and paralyzed. They lay on these porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a very long time, and he came to him and he asked him this question, "Would you like to get well?" The guy responds, "I can't, sir. I have no one to put me into the pool when the waters bubble up." We'll explain that in just a moment. "Someone else always gets there ahead of me." So Jesus just speaks to him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. We're not waiting on any waters to bubble." Where am I? Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. Now, this miracle happened on the Sabbath, so the Jewish leaders objected. God bless religious people. Man, religious people who always miss the very thing that God is doing. And so they're upset. They said to the man who was cured, "Hey, you can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat." So just the sheer act of rolling it up, picking it up, and was a violation of not God's Sabbath laws, but their imposed Sabbath laws on the Sabbath principle that God had established. But he replied, the man who healed me told me, "Pick up your mat and walk. Hey, don't blame me. Don't get upset with me." "Who said such a thing as that?" they demanded. The man didn't know, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. But afterward, Jesus found him in the temple, a different location, close, by the way, to this pool, and told him, "Now look, you are well, so stop sinning or something even worse may happen to you." Then the man went, told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had healed him. So the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. All right, question. Why doesn't Jesus heal everybody who's at this pool? I mean, you have a scene of, in every direction, no matter where you look, there are broken bodies everywhere. Eyes and ears and hands and feet and arms and legs. This is a scene of absolute suffering, and yet Jesus heals only one person. How come? Well, I guess if we were trying to give reasons for it, I guess we could say, well, maybe he just wasn't all that aware. I don't know how that's possible, because in front of his face is all of this suffering. So I think that's a pretty poor excuse. Maybe we could say it was he had compassion for this one man, but he lacked compassion for all the others. And we have a problem with that, because in every Jesus encounter in the Bible, you have this statement, that guy is overflowing with compassion. So you have another problem with that. And then Maybe the third thing is we could conclude that this guy is the only one who had enough faith to be healed of all the suffering people. Now, some of you would know, many of you would not. That is widely taught, and that is widely believed today. If you believe enough, if you will faith harder, if you will worship longer, then God has to cough it up to you. So it's a matter of learning the right things to say, the right steps to dance to. And it's sort of like there's a kind of a spiritual bingo. It's like you're playing a heavenly slot machine. And if you'll just keep pulling the arm, man, just keep pulling. Just keep believing and just keep pulling. Eventually, you'll get cherries all across the thing. And you're a winner. Now, if that's true, then the corollary of that is also true, that if anyone remains sick, it is because you lack faith. So maybe this story is here to show us that miracles go only to those who have strong enough faith to then name what they want and to claim what is, they say, rightfully theirs. But I find it very curious that as you look at this passage, notice who initiates the contact to who. Jesus, this guy doesn't flag Jesus down. He doesn't call him over, doesn't send someone to say, look, I need to talk to you. Jesus initiates this contact. And he comes to him with a question, do you want to get well? Now, just for me, what the heck kind of question is that? Do you want to be well? I mean, that feels highly insulting. Confession, how many of you have ever asked a really stupid question? Yeah, it's part of the occupational hazard of being a human being. And Jesus' question appears as though it fits right in this long list of really dumb questions that have been asked. Why in the world would you ask someone who's been now an invalid for 38 years, would you like to be well? I mean, it just seems, who doesn't want to be well? The question seems so hard and so insensitive and calloused to me. Now, some Bibles, the translation, there's a footnote when you come to verse 4. And then at the bottom of the page, it will give an explanation. Now, in the New Living Translation that we're reading from, would you notice that it goes from verse 3 to verse 5? There is no verse 4. And the reason for that is this, that this pool, there was an actual pool. You can go and see this pool. But there was a spring that fed this pool. And at certain times, the spring would be more active and it would stir the waters. And they had an old superstitious tradition that was utterly unfounded. But they had this superstition that when the waters were bubbling and being stirred, that it was an angel who was doing that. And then they said whoever could get in those bubbling waters first, you got to win. You were relieved of your suffering. You would get healed. Now, as I said, that is absolutely unfounded. But that was sort of their little healing equation that they had come up with. Now, the reason why there's no verse 4 is because that was not in the original manuscript of the Bible, and it's believed that a scribe would have added that much later, long after the Gospel of John was written. But it leads to this. People love to make miracles and healing into a technique that they are then able to control. Because see, if it's mine then, healing is not in anyone, it's mine. I control it. And if I control it, then I can manipulate it. And this then provides very simple answers to the complex suffering that goes on in human life. Jesus asked this guy, "Do you want to be well?" And note, the guy never answers him. But what he does is he breaks out into a series of excuses or reasons why he's not been healed. He feels a little bit defensive. Now, the gospel writer John wants the readers, you and I, to know that his excuses are not valedictorian material. He's been at the same pool for 38 years, and what he's telling us is that in four decades, you're telling me you couldn't get anybody to throw you in the water? You couldn't get a team of your family to sit position and roll you in the water? I mean, for crying out loud, bother somebody, nag them to such an extent that they want to drown you in the water. But you could have found a way in 38 years to get in the water. The guy has done absolutely nothing. And what's even more amazing than his excuses is this man does not even respond to the clear offer that Jesus is making. Now, this is Jesus. This is not the beginning of his public ministry. Listen, his notoriety is countrywide. This is Jesus the healer. His miracles have electrified the entire country. And we read then in the gospel accounts, people will do absolutely anything. You can't stop them from getting to him. That people will rudely press through a crowd to get to Jesus and lunge just to touch his clothes. We studied just a couple weekends ago. Listen, they'll tear the roof off of a house that is not theirs to drop a sick friend right on top of Jesus. They will stop at nothing. Jesus doesn't ask the man, "How come you never got in the pool? But would you like to be well?" And he never says yes. He just gives a series of excuses why he can't get in the water. Now, a really fascinating study that I have done, and if you would like to do it, or you can just take my word for it, but a very fascinating study is to look at the various healing miracle encounters that occurred in the New Testament. And one of the things that you will find is that in all of those stories, you have varying levels of faith that people demonstrated in those accounts. Let me just mention a couple. I'll take you back to last weekend. Remember the Canaanite Gentile woman that we met last week? And she was just unshakable in her faith in Jesus' compassion for her. Jesus gives some responses that were so off-putting. He refers to her as a dog, as a Gentile would have been referred to, testing the disciples. And she responds to Jesus and says, "Yeah, but look, I know something. You're the Lord, you're the Son of David, you're the Messiah." And And even the puppies get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. So look, I know this about you. You may not feed me first, but you're going to feed me. You're not, I just know you. I know you too well. And Jesus is just almost staggered by her faith. And he just says, you've got epic. You have an epic spirit. You have mega faith. But then we come to a leper in Mark chapter 2, and he is much less certain about Jesus' compassion. He says, if you are willing, I think you've got power, but I'm not sure you're willing to give any of that to me. And then we come to the Roman soldier. Matt preached the week that we studied that. A Roman soldier. Romans, they were the enemies of the Jews. A Roman soldier who approaches Jesus, unthinkable, unheard of. I've got somebody who's sick in my home, and I'm coming to you. Jesus says, look, I could come, but I can't come right now. The guy says, look, you don't need to come because I'm in the military. I get it. When the top brass gives the orders, it's done. Nobody questions it. You are the all-authority one, and all you have to do is give the word. Just say the word, and it will be done. And Jesus almost has to sit down. It takes his breath away. He just said, in all of Israel, I've never seen faith like that. But then we come in Mark chapter 9 to a father who has a tormented, demonized son, and he is much less certain about Jesus' power. Jesus, if you could do anything, would you see us? Would you take pity on us? And would you help us? And Jesus says, if I can, anything is possible, he responds, to the one who believes. And remember the guy's response, oh, listen, do I ever believe? Well, I sort of kind of believe. I mean, I've got these two sides of me. I believe and I don't believe. Can you help the side that doesn't believe? There's this wide range of faith that's expressed in these encounters. But here in John chapter 5, there is no faith in this guy at all. So apparently, Jesus does not view acts of healing as reserved only for those who reach high enough levels of certainty. He does this miracle to make it clear that he is the Messiah, the one that everybody was longing for and aching for. From the opening pages of the Bible, right after the fall, there is this promise. Somebody's going to come. Somebody's on his way. And he's going to set this mess right. Somebody's going to come. A Messiah is on his way. And as the prophet Isaiah said, when the Messiah would come, the lame would leap like the deer. Jesus, the Messiah, speaks to this man, pick up your mat and walk, and the guy does. Now let's pause for a moment from our story. Question. Can Jesus heal? Can Jesus heal? Well, for certain we can say he did. And I think we can say he does. Why does Jesus heal? Very important, John 20, 30 through 31. The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. See, Jesus' primary purpose in healing was not the elimination of suffering. That will come one day. He is committed to that, But that day is not here yet. That day is on its way. His primary purpose in the miraculous was to let people know his identity as the one and only Messiah, Savior of the world, so that they could put their trust in him, because there is no other name under heaven by which a human being can be saved. Can Jesus heal? Yes. He is the master over every phase of reality. But can we make healing happen by enough faith? And the answer is no. And teaching people that a lack of healing is a direct lack of faith is just unspeakable damage that is done to a human soul. Unbelievable. I've watched it for years. Oh, it just grieves me to no end. And it contradicts the plain teaching of Scripture. It neglects the biblical record of the Apostle Paul, who, after all, is the agent by which God uses to define what faith in Jesus looks like. But even in Paul, he was not delivered from his physical thorn in the flesh. Jesus is the master of all healing. Jesus, Jesus alone. You know, I was thinking this morning, even as, well, I was at the gym early, and I was just thinking on the treadmill this morning. You know, the fact that your body is created in such a way that it heals itself is a miracle of God. We so take that for granted. And that happens because of Jesus. Because he is the creator of your body. All, anytime, listen, you get sick and you get well, just say thanks be to Jesus. I have a couple of dear friends who faced some extensive surgical procedures in the last couple of weeks. Listen, those of you who are in the medical field, those of you who are physicians, I'm telling you, you are a gift from God. And even the hand of a surgeon who operates that helps repairs, that's all due to Jesus. And then we have the miracles where just in a moment he intersects our life and gives us that. He is the master over all healing. And he invites us to partner with him in prayer. He could heal, he can heal, and he will heal. But whether he heals in this life or the life to come is not ours to know, and it is not ours to control. It is fully in his hands. But when healing comes, it always comes first as a mystery, and second, it comes as a gift of grace. One day, healing came to a man by a pool who had no faith at all. Now back to our story. 38 years, the guy's lived as a crippled beggar with no hope. And in one encounter, in just an instant, he's healed. How would you respond? What would you do? I think you would do something. I mean, I would at least expect the guy to fall at Jesus' feet and there would be tears of joy. I would expect that he'd become a nonstop thank you machine. I think he'd chase him home, say, I'm going to wash your car and do your dishes every day. I'm going to mow your lawn. Or I would expect that he would just go everywhere and tell people what Jesus has done. Can you believe the guy does none of those things? He doesn't say a word or do a thing. He picks up his mat and walks away. It's like, can the story get any worse than that? And the answer is yes. The Jewish leaders who are hostile to Jesus and want him dead, ask the healed man, who told you could pick up your mat They don't ask him, who healed you? Because they see no miracle at all. All they can see is a violated Sabbath principle. And they are angry and they are shouting, this is a spiritual foul. The man responds, you know, I didn't get his name. You know, he slipped away so quickly, and I'm thinking, you mean 38 years you've been on that stinky mat as a beggar, and you didn't even take the time to get the guy's name? Can it get any worse? Oh, you bet your britches it can. Jesus initiates to this man again. He's going to have a follow-up session with him, only this time the guy's in a new location. This pool in the temple would have been very close, but the guy can't go back to the pool because people saw what had happened. So now he's going to set up shop at the temple. And Jesus says to him, now you know, with a miracle of that proportion, there's some responsibility. I need for you to stop sinning. Or something worse is going to happen to you. Now, I read a bunch of commentators this week on what that meant, and I thought their reasons were terrible. And so I don't know what that means, but all I can tell you is this. Whatever something worse is going to happen, you don't want that to happen. I can tell you that much. He's gone back to his old way of life. Only now he's deceiving people. He's plain lame. He comes every day now to a new place on the same mat, and he's hustling people to support him. Now Jesus, oh, you got to love what he does. He's going to blow the guy's cover and announce publicly he can get off this mat. He's well. See, the truth is, this guy really doesn't want to be well. He doesn't want to work. He doesn't want to learn a trade. He doesn't want to exert any effort. See, he clings. You know what? We can find ourselves. It's a strange thing about us. We can cling to our brokenness. We can fall in love with an old way of living. Why? Because it's easy. Jesus says, look, there is something far worse than experiencing physical suffering. It's possible for people to decide to live with a deformed soul. It's decision time for this guy. And you're hoping in the whole story, the guy's going to get it. Will he repent? Will he take ownership? Will he cry out for healing for his soul? Can you imagine? He walks away, goes to Jesus' enemies, and says, I've got his name. They set out to kill Jesus. They won't stop until they succeed. Let me ask you, do you want to be well? Because Jesus is not just asking that physically. Do you want to be sound? Do you want to be whole? Is what Jesus asks. And if you do, understand there will have to come some changes. Number one, this guy's got to understand, you don't get to live as a victim anymore. Oh, how we love our victimhood. Ah, we can gain such pity. We can get an audience. Poor you. You're going to have to embrace some new responsibilities. Are you sure? Are you sure you want to be well? Because there's a cost to wholeness. Jesus asked, do you want to be known as somebody who's been healed by me? Do you want to be associated with me? And guess what his answer was? No. He would prefer to betray the man who healed him. He wants to avoid suffering, but he doesn't want to be whole. Tommy, would you come, Alex, if you'll be prepared on the other side? Question, do you want to be whole? And if you do, you need to know that you can't fix your own life. We live in a world that just says you can fix it. The next seminar, the next magazine, the next book. But you're going to have to learn that you've got to humble yourself and ask for help. The most powerful thing that we can do as a Jesus community, the most powerful thing you can do as a Christ follower is to just pray. James 5, 16 and 17, would you put that on the side screens for me? I want you to come to each other. I want you to confess your sins to each other. I want you to ask each other. I want you to just, you talk about humility. And I want you to pray for each other. For what reason? So that you may be healed. The earnest power of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And then he uses the illustration of Elijah. So CA, in your life groups, can we just re-up again? Can we just decide, look, we're going to be a James 5 church. We're going to do less advice giving. Oh, how we love to give advice. We think we're so profound. We love to give advice. We love to strategize another person's life. Just pray. Ask the healer to make them whole. Physical brokenness, relational brokenness, emotional, you name it. Because you will not manage your life on your own. The Bible is really clear. You won't be whole by trying better. And we can do this. We have done this. This happens among us all the time. But I wanted us to hear it one more time again. We will just continue to pray in the name of Jesus alone, who is the healer. And we will trust his will to be done in our lives.